You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Forget that number three hit from 1960, Jimmy Jones, not the former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but Jimmy Jones, the black singer from Birmingham, Alabama, singing reverentially about Christopher Columbus and Queen Isabella having good timing in 1492. Keith Alexander.
Well, it just shows you what we've lost because of the left. Back then, black guys from the South, like Jimmy Jones, basically were totally bought into America's founding and the heroes of America's founding. And, of course, the first among those would be Christopher Columbus. Columbus Day is celebrated because basically we're celebrating the advent of the white race in the Western Hemisphere.
Now, I have seen so much vitriol, so much hatred. It increases every year. This is certainly nothing new. But now, in stark contrast to Donald Trump, who wrote a wonderful, really magnificent statement honoring Christopher Columbus on Columbus Day while Trump was president, Joe Biden issued a proclamation for Indigenous Peoples Day, these noble savages who were at war with one another, who enslaved one another, who genocided one another. But no, we're not supposed to remember or think about that. It's only the white people who had any hand in any of that, even though we were the ones who ended slavery across the world and all of these other things. But
created a garden spot out of a wilderness of, you know, that was inhabited by basically Stone Age people.
Well, speaking of slavery, I got to say this very quickly. Of course, we homeschool. My daughter is now in sixth grade. My oldest daughter is in sixth grade. My youngest daughter actually just turned 1 year old this week. So happy birthday, Caroline. But I have learned so much just actually going back through these elementary school textbooks and participating.
Because you didn't read them the first time, right?
Well, no, listen, I tell you, we talked about this in a recent conversation earlier this year. Sam Dixon was a participant in this particular conversation. We were talking about Brown versus Board. This was back in May. And you know that even the private Christian schools now use the same curriculum. To get accredited, you have to use the same curriculum that the public schools are using. Now, yes, you can have some prayer in private school, but you're still going to get the same Lincoln, Tubman, King propaganda. But in this homeschooling curriculum, I've learned things that I don't think I would dare say many people in our audience wouldn't know. Did you know, and I talked to you about this recently, Keith, so you know, but Captain John Smith of Jamestown fame, of Pocahontas fame, that Captain John Smith was a slave. He was a slave to a Turkish master, and he battled his Turkish master, and he escaped, and then he went on to become the John Smith we know from sailing, Captain John Smith of Jamestown and Pocahontas. Did you know he was a slave, ladies and gentlemen? Did you even know white people were enslaved by people who were non-white? Well, anyway, that's an aside. Let's talk now, though, about Christopher Columbus. There have been so much text in my daughter's history books. There's three different books that have the history of Christopher Columbus in it, and I have learned things about Columbus that I've never known before, just as I learned about Captain John Smith. Thank you, homeschooling, for educating me even as a 41-year-old man. But let's talk about Columbus, Keith. It is Columbus Day weekend. Columbus Day is on Monday. Celebrate Columbus Day. Why do we celebrate Columbus Day, Keith? Why do we honor him? Why was he a hero? Why is he worthy of our respect and admiration?
Because he represented the first white man, European, to come to the New World of the Americas, the Western Hemisphere, and make the present stick. Now, it's, I think, fairly well documented now that the Vikings came to the Western Hemisphere and lived here for a time, but their settlements weren't permanent. Basically, from the time of Columbus in 1492, there has been a permanent presence of white people in the Western Hemisphere, and to the point that it was taken over and turned basically by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants that came over and founded the nation of America and Canada into a garden spot, a wilderness that was sparsely populated with people living in the New Stone Age. You did things like the Aztecs were the most advanced civilization, indigenous civilization in the Western Hemisphere when the whites arrived, Hernando Cortez, for example, and they endeared themselves to the neighboring tribes by capturing their young men and sacrificing them ritually, where they would basically put them up on an altar and their priests would stick a knife in them and pull out their still beating hearts. Well, they replaced that with Christianity. That's what the whites did when they came, and I think that is a plus for the indigenous people
and
of America.
Make no mistake about that, Keith Alexander and dear audience. I know, of course, the narrative now is that they came here with bloodthirsty thoughts of conquest and gold, and who wouldn't want to be rich? But the motivation of spreading Christianity was paramount. And look, these people were heroes. These people were heroes by any standard of measurement you could possibly put forth. Sailing beyond the horizon, sailing beyond the map, that is something uniquely European. We have this innate drive in us to go into the unknown, to go into space, to scale the highest summit, to sail beyond anything which is known to man. Yes, there were squatters on the land, and yes, Columbus did land in Hispaniola, which is modern-day Haiti and the Dominican Republic, but it was because of that original exploration that others came, Amerigo Vespucci, and found the coastline of the modern-day United States. But it's all so European, Keith, and it is worthy of praise. It is worthy of admiration. It is worthy. These are heroes. These are people that embody the European spirit, the spirit of Western kind.
Well, if it's so bad, how come people are still risking their lives to make it to America? We created a garden spot. In fact, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, British settlers, did this wherever they went. They created what is now known as the Anglosphere. That would be Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Rhodesia and South Africa in Africa. Those places would not have existed if it had not been for the spirit of men like Columbus to go out and tame a wilderness and turn it into a garden spot.
It was better for the indigenous inhabitants. I don't care what they say. I mean, what they say is a lie. You want to live like they did with the Aztecs, where they were building pyramids with the skulls and bones of people? No, that wasn't a good thing. And of course, here we have this thing, talking points for the "we took the land from the Indians" narrative. Hey, they were enslaving, raping, genociding each other. So if the clock is supposed to start when we landed here, no, I don't think so. It should start before we arrived. And by that standard of measurement, the Cherokees got what they deserve for doing what they did to the mound builders. But we got to take a time. We're going to talk less about them, more about Columbus and the spirit of the West.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
In a time of rigid faith and restless doubt, one man challenged the forces of fear and ignorance.
You are a passionate man, Senor Columbus.
Driven by a sense of destiny and ambition, he crossed the sea of darkness in search of honor, gold, and the greater glory of God. Sante, Fernando Rey, and Gerard Depardieu as Columbus. 1492, Conquest of Paradise. The extraordinary story of the discovery of a new world.
It's a movie that I have watched many times, a movie that we recommend every year around this time. That is Ridley Scott, the famed director, Ridley Scott's 1492, Conquest of Paradise. Keith, that movie was released in 1992, which was exactly the 500-year anniversary of Columbus's voyage. Gerard Depardieu stars as Columbus, Sigourney Weaver as Queen Isabella Mondesante. Good cast, good movie, and it portrays Columbus in the light that he should be portrayed in. That was as recently as 1992. You would never see a movie published, produced
by
Hollywood.
It shows you how far we've sunk, not how far we've risen.
Just since the 90s. Just since the 90s. I mean, this wasn't a movie that came out in the 50s or the 60s with Errol Flynn. Yeah, John Wayne playing Columbus.
Or Errol Flynn.
Much more recently than that. And so it's a good movie. You should check it out. But yes, indeed, Columbus was a hero. You see,
and the proof is in the pudding. Look, the proof is in the pudding, James. If what Columbus and other Europeans wrought in the Western Hemisphere and in the Antipodes, that's Australia, New Zealand, and even in Africa, if it was so bad, why are the indigenous non-white people of the world flocking to those locales? They're flocking to them because white people created a garden spot in each of those places.
There is a, we are going to complement our coverage of Columbus on the air tonight with three articles beginning on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that document who Columbus was, why we revere him so. One was written by James Buchanan, and he writes this: Liberals and their media give virtually no credit to the Spanish for bringing Christianity to the New World. Every place the Spaniards went, and you were talking about this a moment ago, Keith, they stopped human sacrifices, cannibalism, and other brutal practices of the natives. Apparently, liberals considered this to be a negative. The self-righteous liberals only seem to value things like gay sex and smoking pot. Saving someone's soul apparently doesn't count as the most important accomplishment that could ever be done. Columbus left 39 men at Fort Christmas, founding the settlement of La Navidad in Hispaniola, present-day Haiti. The Taino Indians slaughtered all of them. Just about every TV documentary assumes that the 39 Spanish left behind were mistreating the Indians. If you were heavily outnumbered and left behind, would you risk antagonizing the natives? We should not join the liberals and immediately assume that the whites were the guilty party here. The only crime that we know of for certain in that earliest encounter with the New World was committed by the Indians against the Spanish, and it was mass murder. The natives saw an opportunity to kill the Spanish. Wouldn't that be considered genocide? And steal their possessions, and that's exactly what they did. When Columbus returned with a force of 1,200, some of the Indians were enslaved in retaliation for their massacre of the Spaniards. Columbus also discovered Cuba during his 1492 voyage, which became a Spanish colony until 1898. Here's the thing. Columbus deserves to be remembered and honored for being the greatest explorer of all time and for beginning the European settlement of America that led to the creation of the United States. That's why we celebrate Columbus Day. Important new crops like corn and potatoes were soon brought back to Europe. Christianity was introduced to the natives and human sacrifice abolished. Present-day Indians enjoy the advantages of a modern-day society, and many tribes have grown rich off casinos. Columbus deserves to have a holiday in his honor. If there are too many on the calendar, we can always get rid of Martin Luther King Day. Hey, Keith, Blowtorch Mason is going to be featured on Monday, one of our fans, and also a Jared Taylor piece, Who Was Christopher Columbus? 3 days of Columbus coverage on TPC starting on Monday, Columbus Day.
Well, it really deserves even more because this, as white people, this should be one of the most important holidays of the year,
yes.
And you should impress this upon your children, because had it not been for white people and their adventurous spirit and their benevolence in passing on Christianity and first world amenities and inventions and society and culture, then these people would be stuck in the New Stone Age the way they were when they were found. This is what has happened everywhere. And basically, if you think they're so badly treated, in all the world, the indigenous people, the Aborigines in Australia, the Indians in America, basically they get to lay about. They don't have to work. They get paid by the government to live on their own land, and they're provided with all sorts of resources. They're allowed to do things like run gambling casinos in America so that they can make easy money. And, you know, who could, you know, that have they treated any group of white people that way? And what happened to the settlers that Columbus left at Hispaniola at La Navidad was duplicated with the English settlers that were at the Roanoke Island colony, you know, the one where Virginia Dare was the first white child in North America born on the continent, and that whole colony was wiped out. So was Jamestown at one time. But see, they don't want to tell you about this, about the genocide against white people. But white people brought all these benefits. And if they really want to quibble with you, then why are Haitians clamoring to get to America? Why are Central Americans and South American Hispanics, mestizos, clamoring to come to America?
Haitians. Why? I mean, hey, you want to talk about landing in modern-day Haiti. Where are the Haitians now?
Yeah, I don't think hundreds of thousands of people came along with Columbus. basically what they did is they converted land. See, they want to portray the indigenous people as like early environmentalists and all these, you know, groovy hippies, you know, early hippies or something like this. They were anything but that. They were life in America and in Africa and in the Antipodes was, as Thomas Hobbes said, nasty, brutish, and short back then until the advent of white people. White people allowed these people not only to live longer lives, get Western medicine to help cure what ailed them, it also provided them with a culture that allowed them to live at a higher standard of living. They don't want, you know, and that's so obvious. If that were not what was going on, why are these people coming to America? They're coming to America, they're coming to Europe because they admire and envy what white people have created and they want to share in it. Now, there would be nothing to share in if Columbus and people like him, white people like him, had not existed in the past. So rather than demonizing them, they need to be celebrated, much more so than Martin Luther King or Juneteenth and all these manufactured
Kwanzaa,
all these, you know, silly made-up holidays that are meant to pander to the left and political correctness.
We got to take a time out, and we'll be back as we continue our celebration of Christopher Columbus with Jack Ryan. Let's Jack think of Columbus all the way up in Chicago.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Don't hit the road, Jack. We'll find out next. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We need to stay unified.
President Joe Biden addressing Democrats at the party's National Committee fall meeting on Saturday afternoon, highlighting the benefits of passing both the infrastructure package and the $3.5 trillion human infrastructure package at the same time.
The question the American people are going to be asking is whether we're helping them and their families in a real way. Can we deliver for them? As Democrats, we have to show that we do understand, that we are delivering for them, and that we are keeping our promises.
Republic Airlines Flight 4817 makes an emergency landing at New York's LaGuardia earlier this evening due to a security incident. A law enforcement official says a passenger got unruly and suggested he had an explosive device. 80 passengers and crew making it off the plane safely when it landed. He got a ride in a police car. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently, remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free. With an annual subscription, it's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
A big development in the story of the missing Texas toddler. A few days ago, his mother was pleading with people to help find him after he wandered away.
She had saw her son chasing their dog down the road, so when she got that information...
Now the sheriff of Grimes County has confirmed that Christopher Ramirez has been found alive. He was found shortly before noon Saturday, about 5 miles from his home. And while they took him to a hospital to be evaluated, the sheriff says he appears to be perfectly fine. The United States meeting with the Taliban this weekend. Multiple outlets are reporting the delegation from the United States has met face-to-face and will some more before the weekend ends with those Taliban representatives in Qatar. If accurate, this would mean the first face-to-face meetings between the two sides since American forces withdrew from Afghanistan in August. In our New England Bureau for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Salve o patria immortale, son rinati virtuosi con la fede di ideale, il valor dei tuoi guerrieri, la virtù dei pionieri, la visione d'Alighieri, oggi brilla in tutti i cuori. Giovinezza, giovinezza, primavera di bellezza, nella vita, nella strezza, il tuo canto squilla e va. Giovinezza, giovinezza, primavera di bellezza, nella vita, nella strezza, il tuo canto.
That was good stuff, Jack Ryan. We brought Jimmy Jones tonight to honor Columbus. That's what Jack had in his arsenal. Tell us what it was, Jack. That was beautiful.
That's just a traditional patriotic Italian song. There was a somewhat of a recent version of it, and it's Columbus Day amongst everything. It's the day that we honor Italian Americans, and all of European people are under attack in the United States. It's not just white Southerners anymore, like it was when I was going to grade school. All European Americans, it doesn't matter if your grandparents came over to the United States from Hungary or Poland after World War II, we're all under attack. So
they're even tearing down George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln.
Well, you know, Columbus has been doing that. When they would tear down a Columbus statue, nothing, you know, barely a blip on the radar, a little bit of paint gets splashed on this monstrosity that passes for George Floyd Monument in Times Square, and the FBI is sicked on the people right. who ever did it, whoever they were. But listen, we don't want to
dragnet.
I don't want to sully our memory, our remembrance of Christopher Columbus by mentioning the name of George Floyd. But Jack, no,
in the same breath.
In the same breath, or at all, in the same hour, for that matter. But Jack, you think about Christopher Columbus. What do you think? What should the audience know? What do we want to remember?
He's credited with the European discovery of the New World. I mean, there were some Vikings up in other parts of the Western Hemisphere, particularly the really cold parts. But he is credited with the European discovery of the New World, Western Hemisphere, and we should honor him of that. But he's also just a great explorer, and he's also a patriotic Italian American. So my one thing is that we should defend all European Americans, all Western people. But you also have to have your specific people, your Southerners, and hey, that's great. But Irish Americans have St. Patrick's Day. The Scottish have St. Andrew's Day. English, St. George's Day. I don't know why we've never celebrated St. George's Day in my lifetime. Who is the patron saint of Wales? It's St. David.
Good question.
So that's the one. That's
well, I tell David. You. Yeah. Is that a rhetorical question, or do you know the answer?
They're all these ones.
Save the whales.
All the various branches of our people have their own unique. Most of the time, it's a Christian saint, but it might be Pulaski's Day, he was a Polish American in the Revolutionary War. But all of these days,
Kosciuszko was one.
Yeah, all of these days honoring specific European Americans are under attack. They're either tearing down the statues, putting rival days. So there's this terrible black communist mayor of Boston that. They've made it Indigenous Peoples Day. You can have something where you celebrate some Native American tribes, and I think the honorable people that are still in that tribe would appreciate it, but they don't. It's cultural Marxism to try to substitute indigenous people, gay and lesbian days, or black nationalist days for traditional European American holidays, or just
damn
Christmas.
Right, Jack. Damn right.
Well, not only that, Jack, think about this. If the indigenous people were so good, why aren't the Haitians trying to break into Indian reservations?
All right, well, but hey, it's a question that should be asked. But and nevertheless, yeah, you were talking about St. Patrick. I know that Chicago, at least historically, used to dye the Chicago River green in honor of St. Patrick. But now I doubt that Columbus is celebrated in such a way. The amount of hatred you will see directed towards Christopher Columbus on Monday will be unlike anything you've seen even in recent years, where it's been quite stout. I mean, and of course, you know, I think, Jack, this hatred is not a primary emotion. It really stems from jealousy. Jealousy that they could never do. His detractors could never be the man Columbus was. They could never do the things that he did.
Tearing down statues is a symbolic way of demonstrating their hatred of white people.
Let's go back to the jealousy aspect of it, Jack. Agree, disagree, continue on with your thoughts on Columbus, your reflections on Columbus this Columbus Day weekend.
It's jealous, but again, this is something that's an easy thing for our people to do. Now, they've had these, most of these really bad cultural Marxist things, they started on really bad leftist college campuses like UCal Berkeley or University of Colorado Boulder. So these issues attacking Columbus have been going on for a long time at University of Colorado Boulder, but the regular people, Italian Americans, defended and they stood up for Columbus Day for a long time. We had some good patriots in Colorado, Representative Tom Tancredo, and they understood it for what it was. And I don't know why we got surprised last year when they had this avalanche of Antifa, Black Lives Matter attacking Columbus statues. Are downtown Chicago on Columbus Boulevard, the statue got taken down, and in Little Italy it got taken down. Now there's being some protests now, but for good for the Philadelphia Italian Americans stood up. They chased off and fought the communists. So it's a battle. You got to be aware of it, and you can't pretend that it's a misunderstanding or something about reason. They're just attacking our people, and if you don't defend your statues, if you don't defend the graves of your ancestors, our people are just cowards and wimps, and that's why I really don't like
these. Well, that's what Teddy Roosevelt said. He said that a man that would not defend the graves of his ancestors is beyond redemption.
Well, I'll tell you, though, it is true that Italians are more apt and prone to defend themselves than other aspects of Western people.
They have more of a sense of self-identity.
Yeah, I mean, they were good, but we had some renegades. The Cuomo family has been a bad renegade. I mean, this current worst ever mayor of New York City, de Blasio, that wasn't his real name. He changed his name. I think he had some German name. He's a race mixer. He married a black lesbian woman. I thought you weren't supposed to do that. But he took an Italian.
Well, there's no traitor like a race traitor, and these people that you're describing are all race traitors. Yeah. And if they were black and they were doing something similar, you know, trying to spit on their heritage,
they'd be shot down by
their community. The left would be after them like white on rice.
Imagine being a man married to a lesbian.
Now, what a charming marriage that would be.
No, yeah, no, it is. But I think Italian Americans have been usually our best, really the best defenders of our European one, because they're sort of lower on the racial scale. And so you see a lot of these people that are lower on the scale will fight harder to show that they are part of the European community. I've always liked Italian Americans. I thought that they were very passionate and good. And we've had some great heroes, probably one of my favorites, a little before my time, but the police chief and mayor of Philadelphia, Frank Rizzo, was just such a great guy. He's just got tremendous quotes. If you ever want to just read, just great. He's better than Vladimir Putin. He's like, he says, in my next administration, I'm going to make Attila Hun look like some gay artist. He says great stuff, and he baits the press. He was a tremendous guy.
Even better. Think about Spiro Agnew. Think about all those great quotes from that wonderful Greek American Spiro Agnew.
Well, and of course, Rizzo, though, to your point, Jack, had a statue in Philadelphia that was, of course, taken down recently.
They attacked Columbus and Rizzo.
The Great Erasure, the Great Purge. It's gone. Rizzo kept Law and Order. He didn't allow the denizens of the Undertow to take down Philly.
So did Rudy Giuliani, another Italian in New York City. Yes, he did what Rizzo did in Philadelphia.
You're not an Italian unless your name ends in a vowel.
And then that great
willing
sheriff
to get physical with the lawbreakers, Sylvester Stallone.
Right in there with him. You just need a guy that's going to physically fight. And it usually is some guy a little bit more on the lower scale. And whether it's Italian-American or a Corsican like Napoleon or that Austrian corporal, he's a little bit there. It's usually not some blue bud aristocrat.
Well, Spiro Agnew, that great guy, is another one. And, we got plenty of them.
Yeah, no, we do. We got to look for some tough guys somewhere. It's not going to be coming out of the Bush family. Some guy from the Skull and Bones at Yale University. Bush Jr. was a cheerleader, a male cheerleader at Yale University.
And he was a dummy, too, along with Al Gore. I couldn't believe they had, respectively, SAT scores of 1041 and 1046.
What'd you make?
I made over 1250.
Got to take a break.
Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions. We're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services. I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Who in the world would have ever known what Columbus could do if Queen Isabella had hawked her jewels in 1492? But she had diamonds, a tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-boo. Diamond is a thing. It's true, you're talking about me.
you and I hadn't just happened to meet, we might spend the rest of our lives walking down Misery Street. But we had time in a
bit of an extended reprise of a song we played to open this particular hour, celebrating Christopher Columbus, Jimmy Jones. Good timing. Good timing brought us all together, did it not, Keith Alexander and Jack Ryan? If it wasn't for timing, you can do everything right, you can be ready, but if the time isn't right, it doesn't fly. The timing brought us all together, this program, our audience, a tick of good timing. We had it. And 17 years later, we're still here and thankful for that.
And enjoying it every show, just like it's still new and still fresh.
You're still the one as Orleans. Do you remember Orleans?
Back in the mid-70s.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Hey, Jack, how are you celebrating Columbus Day on Monday?
I was debating going out to Little Italy with some people. I'm keeping it kind of a low profile. Chicago, I'm unfortunately mostly out of the city, but I have property in the city. Chicago is just extremely violent, chaotic, and it's not just the drive-by shooting.
In other words, a normal American city now.
It's just it's getting to be like late 80s New York City when I was there. So it's just a little bit unpleasant. I was going to go see the Tyson Fury fight, but I didn't want to get caught out late at night in Chicago getting back on transportation.
Pay-per-view.
So I hope he does very well. I think
that's what I'm doing. I'm going to watch it on pay-per-view.
Well, it's happening right now. Am I wrong?
Or is it wrong? Is it right now?
Well, Jack didn't have cable like a good man.
Yeah, the preliminary fight.
Yeah, so all right. Well, actually, let's transition right there, Jack. I mean, listen, folks, if you don't know who Christopher Columbus is and why you should celebrate him, you're probably tuned into the wrong program. Although we always make a point to celebrate Columbus
and Columbus Day and promote it with articles and with show.
The spoken word.
The
word
on our
radio
show.
On the Saturday nearest Columbus Day every October. It's something on our calendar, to be sure.
One of our traditions. We think it is one of the most important holidays of the year.
Much
more important than Juneteenth or Martin Luther King's birthday.
Juneteenth is only a holiday as of this year, and such as it was. I don't even think blacks know what it is. But anyway, hey, Jack, let's transition now, if we could, just very quickly, because you mentioned it. Tell us about this fight, why it's important. Let's go back to sports. You've been on the sports theme the last couple of weeks. Tell us what's up.
Okay, so there is the heavyweight boxing championship. It's the third fight between black American boxer Deontay Wilder and then this British Irish gypsy Tyson Fury. They're both very, very good. And Deontay Wilder was completely undefeated. He had, I think, probably the greatest right-hand knockout punch in the history of boxing. Tyson Fury was undefeated. The first bout, most people say that pretty much everyone, that Tyson Fury won the fight, but he was knocked down twice. It looked like he was knocked out, but he came back up. They called it a draw. The second fight was, it was just a very weird one, that Deontay Wilder showed up in this weird costume. He was doing all kinds of black nationalist, very racist introductions going in, and Tyson Fury just completely destroyed Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder did not get in a punch. He backed him up. He had him on his feet. He was knocking him all around. He busted his eardrums.
That's called don't sandpaper Wildcat's ass down here in the South, right? That's what they did to Tyson.
Everyone, Deontay Wilder he has a good manager that was a fighter when I was in New York, Mark Breland. He threw in the towel. Or Deontay Wilder could have been seriously injured or crippled. He made so many excuses, like 15 excuses about the weight of his stupid costume going in. He accused Tyson Fury of messing with his gloves or anything like that. So they came in, but both of these guys are giants. I think Deontay Wilder is 6'7". Tyson Fury is 6'9", 270 pounds. He looks a little awkward, but he's actually just an excellent boxer. He uses his jab. He sets things up. I'd say that Tyson Fury, we'll see how he does tonight, but if he runs up some things, he could be the second best or best British heavyweight in history after Lennox Lewis, or even if he gets it going on. He's also a real badass. He's funny. He's the funniest guy in the heavyweight division since Muhammad Ali.
He's quite outspoken.
Correct. But he sort of backed it up. He handles race issues very well. He goes out of his way to cultivate, decent black trainers and things like that. He was disrespecting homosexuals, and he even called out the Jays for running the media. But he's backed away from that. He's got a traditional family, a beautiful wife. They have five healthy children. He named his last daughter Athena. So there's sort of a mix of Catholic nationalist and then some classical Greek, which I like. I like it, things like that. So I just hope he does very well. He might be a little bit almost too confident, overconfident, because Deontay Wilder does have the greatest right hand in boxing history, and so we'll see how.
So did Sonny Liston.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Tyson Fury, though. He's been about as politically incorrect as any major athlete could possibly be. I mean, he's been
probably why most people over here haven't heard of him. You've never seen any ESPN biographical sketch on him. Like, the only time you see anything about boxing on ESPN now is when it's a black champion or it's something to do with Muhammad Ali.
Well, we actually had a question that came in from our Jewish listener. I say our Jewish listener because we have only one, but he's a great one. I've actually broken bread with him up in Michigan is where he is. And he's a big fan of yours, Jack. And he had this question for you, and it was, do you think, I mean, obviously the fact that all the heavyweight champions are white plays into the fact that boxing isn't as hyped now as it was in...
There used to be a lot of Jewish boxers back in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Okay, but that's not the question. The question is, do you think that the popularity of MMA fighting, mixed martial arts fighting, like the UFC, has played into the downfall of boxing in terms of its popularity?
Kind of yes and no. But I think a lot of it, Americans are nationalistic, and so they won't follow... Certainly, Eastern European champions like the Klitschko brothers and things like that. And also in tennis, we haven't had a men's American tennis champion since Andre Agassi. That plays into that, but I think it's a kind of a cop out to say that we don't promote it. The big fights in the 70s, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, those were pay per view too. They didn't have free boxing for those like that. And I think that Americans just need to support good sports. Whether it's rugby, whether it's tennis, whether it's boxing, and you shouldn't, I mean, our people have fallen into bad habits. Watching 5 days a week of American football is just a waste. Or that fake wrestling, WWF, what a waste of that. I mean, people who believe that that's real, they shouldn't be allowed to vote. I'm sorry, but if you're that stupid, you think, what kind of people would believe those neoconservative Zionist war propaganda that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and that Saddam was Hitler, and that Assad was gassing little children, and we got to fight for freedom and democracy. What kind of dumb people would
Hitler
believe?
Hitler wasn't even Hitler.
It's the people who believe that WWF wrestling is real. You know, that they're just, we have a lot of rather stupid television addicted people. And, you know, we got to deal with what we've got, but I just feel that good people listening to our show should support good sports, athletes from all over the world, and if they're good black American or just black British athletes, is provided they're good people, that they're honorable and good sportsmen, I think you should support them.
That's
too.
Right.
So I think
that's right.
Boxing is doing pretty good right now. Britain has just a good system of boxing, of amateur boxing. They got promoter Frank Warren. He's an honest person, much better than Don King. So I think it's a good time for boxing. And so I think it's an excuse,
Jack,
to say that we can't do it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, good coverage tonight on that. Columbus, hey, celebrate Columbus Day. Happy Columbus Day, everybody. Keith, with seconds remaining, you wanted to answer the MMA question. Has the proliferation and the popularity of MMA led to the downfall of boxing as a promoter?
It has, but then ESPN, which is owned and operated by Jewish power and influence, is in control of American sports now, and when they stopped having black American champions, and the operative word there is not American but black, suddenly boxing dropped off the radar screen, and all you saw about boxing, you had a Jewish guy named Teddy Atlas that used to cover it for them. I don't know where he's gone. It's like he's become the abominable snowman, and nobody can locate him anymore. What happened was that these people, you know, they are not going to cover something that white people excel in.
Happy Columbus Day, everybody. Happy Columbus Day, Jack. Happy Columbus Day, Keith. Happy Columbus Day, Brad Griffin. What a great show tonight with Brad Griffin in the first hour. Keith and I kept the party going in the second hour. Columbus Day, honoring Columbus, Jack Ryan. Hey, always great to wrap up a show with Jack. Jack, we love you. Thank you for being part of the team.
Yeah.
For everybody, the staff and crew of Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, our team in Florida, our team in Utah. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. Celebrate Columbus Day. Read to your kids about Columbus. Watch 1492 with Gerard Depardieu. Remember Columbus. He was better than us. And he was a damn sight better than his detractors. Good
or
night,
the
everybody.
Aztecs.
And he was better than the Aztecs. Godspeed. Good night.
Okay.